In 1994, the per capita income for the nation of Ghana was $800. However, for the country as a whole, that number is skewed because income in the urban centers such as Accra will be astronomically higher than in the dusty rural areas of the north, such as Banaba or Zebala. There, $800 is a treasure. Also in 1994, Father Joe Anyandana made his first trip to the Roanoke Valley. While here, as some of you will remember, Father Joe was given gifts and offerings, including some cash. By the end of his visit, he had accumulated 100 American dollars. At the time, he estimated this to be the equivalent of 10 months of his salary. With that much money in his pocket, upon his return to Ghana, Father Joe's life could change appreciably. When he left St. John's for the last time, he left behind an envelope. Inside it was a note wrapped around $100 in cash. And this is what Father Joe's note said. In Ghana, it is customary for people to give thanks to God for blessings in whatever situation they may find themselves in. Thanksgiving whilst in labor, or after childbirth, or recovery from sickness, or in sickbed, for God's traveling mercies, or for safe arrival, for success in business, or a new house, or for a new marriage, or for anything, bad or good. I am therefore going to give thanks to God with my widow mite offering of $100 for three reasons: for safe arrival here in Roanoke, for God's traveling mercies back to Ghana, and for finding a second home in Roanoke, especially for meeting a wonderful parish family and for a very nice, enjoyable, wonderful, unique, and memorable, as well as historical time. And finally, for friends and fellowship. I feel so lucky and blessed to be here. What a family. What a friend I have found in Jesus. Thanks be to God. You know, here at St. John's, we talk of stewardship. A couple of months, we'll really talk of stewardship. We speak of tithing and giving sacrificially as a reflection of our love of God and our appreciation of God's blessings. But Father Joe's gesture is scarcely believable to us. Being handed a virtual year's income, like winning the lottery, and then giving not a small portion, not even a tithe, but all of it back to God. Loosing hold in faith that God's work would be done. Scarcely believable for most people we know, perhaps. But for those of us blessed to know Father Joe, it really isn't surprising at all. For in him, the words of St. Paul to the Galatians rang true. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Consistently in his life, the light of Jesus Christ shone brightly, molding and forming his actions, directing him in faith to be a witness to a darkened world, both in Ghana and all too briefly here in Roanoke. Charlene Fisher was gracious enough to share with me some correspondences from the late 1990s between Father Joe and Charlene's late husband, Bud. In them, Father Joe mentions the struggles with weather and poverty and ministry in Ghana only in passing. His emphasis in those letters is on Roanoke, on St. John's, and the ministry that's occurring here. He's solicitous of Bud's well-being, and his concern is always for the other. I count myself blessed to to spend some time with Father Joe when he last visited us in early 2008, and there are three images of him that are indelibly imprinted on my memory. The first is of shared fellowship at our Shrove Tuesday pancake supper. I'm not sure he'd ever seen a pancake race before. Kingdom Life won that race, as I recall. The second is of Father Joe's public joy when he danced on stage with abandon at the Jefferson Center Kamoyo event. Wink, I think he wanted you to go out there and join him, but you didn't do that. And the third is the private care and prayer he extended toward me as the two of us broke bread together over an extended lunch. The common mark of all three of those memories is Father Joe's smile, ever present. It was Christ's smile, and I've rarely seen it so unguarded and true. The Reverend Tom O'Dell, former rector here and a cherished friend of Father Joe, was not able to be with us today, but Tom sent me this reflection. Quote, "The first time Father Joe ever left Ghana to come to Roanoke was in 1994, and it was in February, and the region had just been hit with a devastating ice storm. Joe wanted okra for dinner. So the two of us slid down my driveway on the seat of our pants and slipped our way into Tennell's market. I picked up two boxes of frozen okra from the case, and I handed them to Joe so that I could select some other items for our dinner. Joe stared at the boxes in disbelief. He held them to his cheek and exclaimed, 'Oh my goodness, everything in America is frozen.' Tom says, "This was the only time I ever knew Joe to be mistaken. Where Joe was, nothing could be cold or frozen. He warmed the hearts of those around him, especially the people of St. John's, with his humble, authentic Christian spirit. There are rare persons whose genuine, guileless love for his brothers and sisters changes everything. And Father Joe was such a person." Indeed, he was. Gracious God and Father of all, grant to Father Joe your peace, and let light perpetual shine upon him. Amen.